What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 454. And this week's podcast is brought to you by our friends over at Be Quiet. So Be Quiet, as the name states, they make fans, they make power supplies, they make cases. They had one of the best case deals that I actually saw for Prime Day, which we'll talk about here. But they have a ton of stuff. And let's go here. We'll accept our cookies. But of course, they make some of the best power supplies out there. They have really good cases, really good air coolers, as well as liquid coolers. Nice fans. And yeah, some of the best fans. That's why they're called Be Quiet. And they now make keyboards, which I have the dark mounts into review. So and it's very quiet. I got to see it at Computex. So if you're interested in Be Quiet products, of course, you can find them pretty much anywhere, whether you're shopping on Amazon, Newegg, even in Best Buy and all of that. Or you can just go to their website, bequiet.com. So of course, we thank them for sponsoring this episode. And of course, on the other side of the screen is my co-host, Ryan. How's it going?
Good. I'm ready to podcast. Like, it's one of those weeks I'm like ready to talk tech and
it's tech related. All-time high Bitcoin.
Oh, all-time high?
All-time high.
When did this happen?
Earlier today.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. So we're still going up. I'm definitely happy about that. That's I've been holding for a very long time. So so yeah, Bitcoin's still going, still pumping. I think by the end of the year it will be close to 125. But I'm not a financial advisor. I have to state that. So
I knew it was up today, but I didn't realize that it was like I haven't paid attention to the price in forever. So
yeah,
it's interesting.
Yeah, no, I really don't pay attention because I'm like a long time. I'm just like holding for a long time. That's like my retirement, I guess you would call it. But I saw somebody post about it today. I don't have alerts or anything set up. I just check it every once in a while. But I saw somebody post about it. I was like, oh, man. But beyond that, it is Prime Week or whatever you want to call it for Amazon. We have a ton of other stuff to talk about. Two really cool products that I got a chance to take a look at. RTX 5050. We have details on new CPUs coming. We're getting to that time where we're going to see some new CPUs. So we both on the Intel and AMD side, we have some rumors about that going on and so much other stuff that we're going to be talking about here. Now, if you do want to follow along, we have our full show notes page that is right here. That is everything that we are going to be talking about. So if we're talking about something and you want to kind of follow along, all the links are going to be here. And of course, if you're listening on audio later or even watching us later, everything's right here so you can reference it if you want a little bit more information. Now, let's start out with our reviews. And I took a look at a really awesome motherboard. So this is my first BTF motherboard from ASUS. If you're not familiar with BTF motherboards, they are the motherboards that have the connections on the back. And the whole idea behind that is you want to hide your cables. You want as less cable mess as possible. So I took a look at the ASUS ROG Maximus Z890 Hero BTF. And this essentially is the same board as the ROG Maximus Z890 Hero, but it's just the BTF version. So again, all the connections are moved to the back of the board, which again, makes it really weird. It's like weird to pick up the board and then you have like the connections on the back.
Yeah, things hanging off the back would be weird.
So I'll go ahead and show you what the back looks like. And you can see like all the connections up here along the edges, just all around the board. Now you do need a compatible BTF case. So almost all the new cases these days do support BTF motherboards, but you want to make sure your case does have the cutouts because you're required to have the cutouts to, of course, connect everything. So it won't work if you don't. But yeah, really, really cool, this whole concept. And the really interesting thing about ASUS's implementation of this, we've seen this from Gigabyte as well as MSI, is that ASUS has this proprietary connector, and that actually runs your graphics card power. So ASUS also sells BTF graphics cards. So you can go ahead and have no cables on your graphics card, and yeah, just like no cables at all. Even on the on MSI and Gigabyte's implementation, you still had a cable for your graphics card. ASUS is able to bring all of that power through the motherboard and this connector right here. And we've seen tests where this connector can do like 2,000 watts.
That's a lot.
That was my biggest worry when BTF first came out, was like, can, like, that's just a lot of power to be going through your motherboard, but it has been tested. I didn't test it with a BTF graphics card, and you don't need a BTF graphics card to run a BTF motherboard at all. It's just the option that you do get. Now, this board has so much on it, and I've talked about a lot of this when we actually reviewed the non-BTF version. But if you look at all of the M.2s, Gen 5 and Gen 4 M.2s there, just a really, really sleek design as well. Toolless installation on a lot of the things too. And you have that really cool graphics card slot where there's like not a release button, but you essentially just like go like this with the
card. Yeah, that angled. Yeah, it's cool.
And it comes out. It's just awesome. Really high VRM as well on this. So it's a 22+1+2+2 on here. And again, the power delivery components go all around the CPU socket. So yeah, just a really, really good board overall. And ASUS was nice enough to send over one of their cases that is a BTF case. So they sent over their Tough Gaming GT302. It's actually a really, really nice case. It comes with four included RGB fans. And you can see like all of these cutouts for the board itself. You know, that's what your motherboard tray is going to look like to support BTF style motherboards. And then when you have everything installed, you can see that like all of those cutouts, you know, are really made for, of course, all of those connections. So you wire everything up back here. So when you're done, the build looks quite nice when you're done with it. So really, really like that. Another thing that this board has that not a lot of other motherboards have is Thunderbolt Share. So if you're not familiar with Thunderbolt Share, it essentially allows you to connect via the Type-C Thunderbolt on the back to another system. You can do a super fast file transfer. You can't normally do that on Thunderbolt. The systems have to support Thunderbolt Share. This board does. So if you needed to do like a crazy fast transfer, it's like 40 gigabits a second.
Wow, so, that's awesome.
Yeah. So you can do some really cool things with that. But yeah, the board is great. Like there's really not much to not like about this motherboard. Having it be BTF again, just allows you to not have a big cable mess or anything like that. And then this board is one of my favorite boards. If you are building a new Intel system, super solid, so many features, so many M.2s, USB 3.2 Gen 2x2, of course, Thunderbolt 4. I mean, you have everything on this board. There's really not like a lot to not like about it. It's just an awesome board overall. And if you compare the two, it's about $15 more expensive than the non-BTF version, which I think is fine. But it is an expensive board. It's $700. So it's very, very expensive. But anything ROG Maximus is going to have that much higher price point. It just is. But you're getting so many features and so many things. The BIOS is amazing. There's just so much there that, yeah, I mean, you really can't go wrong. You're not going to be disappointed with this board at all. So I gave it a 9 out of 10. It is expensive. You do need a BTF-compatible PC case. And, of course, your graphics card slot drops to X8 speed if you install drives in the two bottom Gen 5 slots, but that's a platform limitation. That's not a motherboard limitation. So that's kind of how I sit with this. I really, really like this board though. And I think if you're doing a BTF build on the Intel side, this is definitely a board that you should consider. So go ahead and check that review out for sure. And we'll move to a new PC case. You know what? I messaged Ryan yesterday. And I go, this is Fractal Design's new case. And then I never sent him the photo of the new case. It was just like,
yeah, I know. I noticed that. I was like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. So Fractal Design put out a brand new case. It's called Epoch. And it's a new series. Like we haven't heard this series from Fractal Design. You know, it's not part of the Define series. It's not part of the North series, the Meshify series. This is a new series, but it has a lot of the same features, especially I would say it's almost the same case as the North. It's a little bit smaller, has a few different features, but it's just this really nice and elegant small mid tower. And I think a lot of people like a small mid tower. They're going to install an AIO, maybe even an air cooler. They're going to install their graphics card, and they just want something that's going to look nice on their desk. They don't need this big monstrosity of a case, which would be like their Torrents or even the Meshify 3 is like a bigger case. This is more compact, and I really, really like this case. It's just simplistic and just gets the job done. So I have the white version here. And if you're familiar with Fractal Design's North case, you can see that the side panel is sort of like 80% of the case, and then the rest is this other panel, just like the North. Internally, this is designed very much like the Fractal Design North as well. It has the same sort of features. The big change is, if you guys know, the Fractal Design North had the wood paneling. This just has this mesh panel, which is all white, and you can pull up on it. And when you do that, it reveals three included Momentum 120 millimeter fans. Now, we have the RGB version of the case, so it will come with RGB versions. If you just get the normal version of the case, it will just come with non-RGB versions. What's nice about these Momentum fans is they all use a Type-C connector that you can see here. So the Type-C just connects the fans, and then you have a breakout cable that gives you RGB and power. So you really don't need a fan controller. Like the North came with a fan controller. This case does not. And you don't necessarily need them because you can just daisy chain all of these together really, really easily. So you get three included fans there. On the top, as far as connections go, this is a USB 3.2 Gen 2x2 and then two USB 3.0 right there at the top. Now, if you're wondering, the front will support 360 millimeter radiators, as well as, of course, three 120 millimeter fans. And then the top of the case here, you can see, is mesh. And then there's a little pull tab. It's kind of a Fractal Design thing to have that pull tab now. On this case, it's fabric. And when you pull that off, it reveals support for up to a 280 millimeter radiator or two 140 millimeter fans or two 120 millimeter fans. This cooling bracket at the top is not removable, but I don't feel like it really needs to be in this type of case. Of course, I told you about the side panel. The side panel on the white case is not tinted. It's slightly tinted on the black case. And as far as the back, it's like exact same as the Fractal Design North. All this ventilation, all of your expansion slots, power supply mounts at the bottom, and then there's a pull-out filter for your power supply right there. So pretty simple. The side panels are just held on by captive thumb screws on each side. So you loosen those and just pull the panel off pretty easily. And then we will take a look inside. So inside, now this is a new case, but it does not support the back connect motherboard. So it's something I did notice. But you have room for ATX, micro ATX, and mini ITX motherboards, graphics cards up to 372 millimeters, CPU coolers up to 170 millimeters. So pretty, you know, simple design, two compartment design. So you have your main compartment here and then a bottom compartment with a power supply cover, which does have a cutout in the front. So if you did want to install a radiator in the front, you can. But that is kind of what it looks like. Pretty, like I said, pretty standard design. It's essentially like the Fractal Design North. And then on the back, you have a SSD mount here that supports two SSDs. You can see all of your cables are pretty much going to be run here. Tons of tie down points as well to do all of your cable routing. And then on the bottom here, your power supply is going to go here. And then you have these two storage trays. These will support both a 3.5 inch hard drive as well as a SSD. So in both of these trays, you can do a total of four drives plus the other two up here. It gives you six hard drives supported in this case out of the box, which I think is really good for how small this case is. And you can also adjust these. So you, if you say you installed like a radiator in the front, you can move these over. You can move one of these to the other side of the case. You can mount one of these to this top part here as well. So you can move them around. You get a lot of options, and they're just held into place by thumb screws. All of the hard drive mounts are made of metal, something that we know Fractal Design for, so no plastic here or anything like that, which I really, really like. And then as far as the installation goes, it couldn't have been simpler. Like, everything just goes in. Very self-explanatory, no issues. Even though this is a smaller case, it never felt cramped. Everything went in, no problem. And like, this is what sort of like our final build looks like. Just nice and clean, no real issues at all. And then we'll see what it looks like with the lights turned on. So again, you can go ahead and see what those fans look like. And yeah, I think it looks good overall. And their temperatures were good as well. No real issues. Those three fans are very quiet too. So that's definitely nice there too. So I really like this case. The non-RGB versions will be $109, and then the RGB versions will be $129. So I think the pricing is good on this too. I don't feel like it's priced very bad, especially with how things are these days. I don't know if you had any thoughts on it, Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the included fans, the pricing's good. To me, it's kind of a basic case. And a lot of their cases are like basic when you first think about them, like this and, you know, the Divine series that you mentioned earlier. But they have really good, like, those little features that add up to make building in them more a better experience, right? So, I think it's neat. It's not a groundbreaking look for them by any means. You know, they've got some really unique stuff out there. But it's very mainstream,
I think. Yeah, I think this is what this is. It's a very mainstream, like, yep, we're going to hit that price point of just around $100. But it still looks kind of elegant sitting mm-hmm. there. And if you don't want it to be too flashy, you just get the non-RGB version. And it's nice that... you get the three included fans. It would have been nice to have a fourth fan, an exhaust fan, but essentially you could be good to go out of the box, and it's quiet. It's just going to sit nicely, and it's going to fit on most desks because it's not all that big either. I think that's one thing I really, really liked about it, is like, you can easily pick it up, move it around, and really easy to build in too. So if you're thinking about this as like a first time build, it's very easy to build in. There's no like, how do I do this? And Fractal Design does have like some of the best instructions, like with actual words, not just like
pictures. A picture. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I've ran into that with this all-in-one cooler recently.
Yeah. Terrible. Yeah. So everything's good to go with this case. So I like it. I gave it a 9 out of 10 and our recommended award. Like I said, the only thing, no support for back connect motherboards, and the case would have to be a little bit wider anyways to support that. So, like I said, I like it for a nice compact mid tower. So if you're looking for one, definitely check that out. We'll move on to Case Mod Friday. And for case mods, I have not been a fan of a lot of the case mods. There's a couple that I liked, but not a whole lot in the Height Y70. It's just like a weird case to do a mod in, I feel. And I feel like there's a couple that we featured that were like really, really good. And then some of them, a lot of the other ones I see are like kind of, I don't know, bland, at least like for my liking.
This one is definitely not bland.
Yeah. So this is a really, really cool build because like at first glance, you don't think it's a Height Y70. So this is,
I didn't realize it.
The Crimson Fleet Rig from Blue Horse Studios. And it's a Starfield themed build. And I mean, it just looks so cool. Like,
yeah.
You know,
all the extra like added on, I don't even know what to call them, components or just fittings, you know, on the outside that give it the theme. That's, I mean, it looks like a movie prop type of thing, you know?
Yeah. And that's what I love about it.
I like that back shot where they still incorporated like those iconic lines right on the back side there. Like, I like that they kept those on there.
Yeah, and one thing I haven't seen with a lot of Height Y70 builds is like they built this stand that kind of makes it its own thing, and that has fans in it. And
was that where the radiators are?
Yeah, probably. I assume it's where the radiators are down there. So it's really, really cool. But yeah, like you said, it looks like a prop piece from a movie. I mean, you could see this sitting in a movie.
Oh, like, yeah.
This would be on like one of those just like, you know, TV shows, alien TV show, and this is like the computer that they're using. Like it would fit in very well, I would say. Yeah. So yeah, really, like I said, really, really like this. I love the screen there, the one down here as well. Yeah, shout out to Blue Horse Studios for this. Of course, we have their page linked, and all the information is on this page if you want to check it out. But yeah, awesome build from Blue Horse Studio. And then we'll move on to news. So Prime Day. Actually, let me bring up our... I posted some of my favorite deals. What did you... Did you buy anything tech-related for Prime Day?
Well, let's see. I had a box show up like 5 minutes... Well, 15 minutes before we started. So I needed another SD card. So I picked up a SanDisk 128 Extreme
Pro. Only 128?
Yeah, like that's enough. Like I don't shoot enough to justify the price jump to 256. I ordered you can't tell what it is, but this is a newer suction cup tripod style mount for a car, because I got a new car recently and I wanted to just make some videos with it. And so I almost ordered it last week, and then I was like, wait, Prime is next week. We'll see if it goes on sale. Sure enough, it did.
It'd be like that guy. There was a guy on Instagram. I think he had a Corvette or something. Yeah. And he was like, he would like run from the cops and record it with like,
oh, I've seen those. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I ordered, from Newer, a desk, like a desk mount, like camera and light and microphone stand. But I got one from another company. It's essentially the same product, but a different company. So whether there was a mix up on the shelf, who knows? I may just keep this one. They're priced like almost identically, and feature wise, they're about the same. And then I ordered this Fantic little slim, like I'm going to use it in my car, vacuum cleaner, just a rechargeable vacuum. So I've seen a lot of good stuff from this brand. And
yeah, I have one of their.
They do like little air pumps and stuff too.
Yeah. Like, yeah, they make a lot of cool stuff. So
yeah.
I just bought like around the house stuff. That's what
I bought some Starbucks.
Oh yeah.
Did you send me the link? So I was like, I grabbed some of those.
Yeah. But yeah, I just bought like maybe $50 worth of like around the house stuff that I just like was a little low on. I didn't buy anything tech. I don't need any SD cards. I don't know what I would buy. Didn't buy anything crazy, but there were some really, really good deals. I think for tech.
And there still are. I mean, it goes to the 11th. So you got a couple days.
Yeah, I know. When did Prime Day turn into Prime Days? Just like Black Friday was supposed to be like one day, and now it's like it's the whole week, and then all the way through to Cyber Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, but in any case, I think the big deals for tech, at least one of them, was the Ryzen 9 9950X and the Intel Core Ultra 7265K. So the 9950X was It is $434, which is 33% off for that type of processor. It's pretty awesome. $430. And like a lot of Ryzen processors were on sale, and like some of them were like $164. And you're like, these are really, really good prices. And then the Intel Core Ultra 7265K, this was $259. So pretty good deal if you're building a new Intel system as well. And those were like the CPUs, and there was a bunch of CPUs. So if you just like go to the Prime Day page, I'm sure you can find other CPUs if you weren't looking at these two. We also posted some deals like on social media. We talked about it earlier in the show, but like this Be Quiet case, it's 20% off, and you don't think it's that much, but I think it brought it from like it brought it from $259.90 to $207, which is like significant discount.
Yep.
And it's the Lightbase 900FX. It's only the black one. The white one didn't go on sale. But that's a really, really good deal there for a case. There wasn't a ton of cases. Like things that don't typically go on sale are like some PC cases, graphics cards, like everything else goes on sale on Prime Day, but this is one of the really, really good case deals. So if you're looking for like a big case like this, this is definitely a good deal. Gaming headsets too, like the HyperX Cloud 3, it's the wired one, but it was like $60, which is a pretty good, like a 30% discount. So it's normally $100. I thought that was a really, really good deal. You know, if you were thinking about getting a new gaming headset, this one's super comfortable. I've used this one. Good quality audio as well. So that was a good deal. Even the Ryzen 7 7800X 3D, 24% off. I thought that was a good deal. And then for storage, like I think the big thing we saw is like high capacity NVMe storage. So the Crucial P310 4 terabyte was 40% off, which again, I think is a really, really good deal. So $200 for 4 terabytes of Gen 4 NVMe storage. I think that's
awesome. You have to pick one of those up. That's a good deal.
Yeah, that's a really, really good deal. Usually $333. So that was a really, really awesome deal. So those are the deals that I saw. Like I said, I didn't buy anything tech, but it's always like Prime Day is always a good time to like, typically Intel and AMD are competing when it comes to CPUs, a lot of storage, a lot of monitors. I think those are like the big ones that you typically do see is like storage and monitors, you know, and like Ryan got the SD cards. You typically see the SD cards as well. So that's kind of like the Prime Day stuff that I did. I don't know if you saw anything else crazy.
No, not really. I don't know if you were scrolling by it or something, but it made me think of a thermal camera. And there's one from Fleer.
You can just plug into
your phone and use it as the screen. And it's like $160.
Yeah.
Which is pretty sweet. They got some handheld ones as well. So I might have to look some more, maybe spend some more money.
Yeah. What you want to do with Prime Day too, is you want to like see if you can see like the 60-day price to see if they if they like put it back up and then lowered it, you know what I mean? You always want to check that, but yeah, lots of really, really great deals. The RTX 5050 came out. Yeah. So that's kind of, everybody's like, but there's a really, really small RTX 5050 that I wanted to talk about. So this is the PNY single fan. I mean, the card
it's
is not
barely as long as the slot.
Yeah. You know
I mean? Like the PCIe connector.
Yeah, you can see right there. So this is their ultra compact RTX 5050. It's just, it's super, super tiny. So if you were looking for a super tiny build, this could definitely be the card for you. We've seen, like I said, this is even smaller than the 5060s that we saw. And yeah, it's just going to be that super tiny, tiny card. And again, I think if you're taking advantage of like DLSS4, it would be like a good card for like 1080p, you know. But yeah, just this like ultra small card. So really, really like that. It is a stock card, no overclocking or anything like that. But yeah, I thought that was pretty cool there. And then we're talking about RTX graphics cards. And the biggest thing with especially like the higher end cards were like, they're still well over MSRP. And we've talked about Phantom MSRP for such a long time. And this is like still kind of like, we're still not getting back to MSRP. And last week we talked about AMD cards kind of getting back to that MSRP price. Well, it looks like NVIDIA cards are not. 5090 and 5080 are many cards still selling for 50% above their MSRP. 50%. Gamers Nexus did a little survey and they looked at prices and like so many cards are still in that really, really high over 50% MSRP, which really sucks.
It does.
Like if you look at this, the 5080 average percent over MSRP available.
57%.
Yeah. 5090 is 52%. The Intel Arc B580 is 50%. The Arc B5, like the Intel cards are even, you know, just selling well over MSRP, which is crazy. I get it for the 5090, but still. Yeah, so it's just not a great time to buy NVIDIA cards unless you can really find them at MSRP. Just kind of sucks. Like, it's just not not great. But as we move on to that, people always say, and I've heard this, is that AMD cards, they age like fine wine. Okay. That's what I've heard. Okay. And it kind of seems like it, because AMD, all like we know previously, they never like worked on drivers that much, but with their newer cards, they're always updating their drivers. And with the 9070 XT, the new driver boosted to actually perform better than the RTX 5070 Ti, which is awesome. So Hardware Unboxed did a bunch of new tests with the 9070 XT with the latest driver. And, you know, like in Spider-Man Remastered, 27% faster at 1440p, 23% faster at 1440p with Counter-Strike 2. Delta Force is 14% faster. So still like bringing value, right? Like still, you know, when the card comes out, everybody sees the numbers, but like they're still working on improving its performance. So I think that's really, really good. Intel did that too with the Arc cards, and it's good to see AMD work on that as well. Like sometimes in the past we felt like, okay, the card came out, that's its performance, and that's kind of all that we're getting, whereas like this is kind of nice. And you know, like I said, maybe we'll see like again more AMD cards age like fine wine. They get better as the time goes along, so that's definitely nice. If you were going to buy a card now, would you get an RX 9070 XT or would you get a 5070 Ti?
I think I'd be in the NVIDIA camp.
Still? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, yeah, you've got the options for your frame generation, all of the extra software. Like, I'm a huge user of NVIDIA broadcast or RTX, you know,
voice
feature. Yeah. So those are things that just like put me into that camp, right? Just natively and easily. So
yeah, no, makes sense. I could go either way. I think you're right. Like NVIDIA still has that sort of product stack of all of those extra features that you do get.
Right. AMD's, if it was just gaming, like yeah, you're fine with either one.
Yeah. I think AMD is catching up a little bit, but I do think that NVIDIA still has that better sort of extras stack when it comes to their software and everything like that. Moving on to CPUs. Are you ready for another CPU launch?
No, but
I feel like just this year is like, we always talk about it. We've talked about this podcast for literally years. They're
blending together a lot.
But like, it's July. Wasn't it just January?
Stuff? Yeah, it was.
Yeah. So it's July already. So again, talking about CPUs, we have information on Intel's Arrow Lake refresh. It's set for the second half of 2025, so probably right around holiday season. Big upgrades are going to be the NPU. Of course, that's going to help with AI and things like that. Increased clock speeds, of course, that's what we always see with the refresh. Still going to use the same LGA 1851 socket, which is good. So we don't have to buy all new motherboards if you were going to upgrade. Or you can buy a motherboard that's been out for a while that might, you know, have a price not as pricey as a brand, like something that's launching with the refresh. So that's nice. And it, like the Arrow Lake CPUs featured 8 P cores and 16 E cores and 2 low power E cores. So with a refresh, you could see double that. So 32 E cores on the refresh. So yeah, kind of expected all of this. I think Intel did do a really good job with Arrow Lake as far as thermals, and that was the biggest thing. Like everybody knows who had a 13900K or 14900K. It was very, very hot and very hard to keep under control. Whereas with Arrow Lake, things were much more under control, and I think that's better in the long run. So we should see that be the same with the refresh. Getting more cores in there, better NPU for doing, like, again, like Copilot and all the other stuff you want to do. But yeah, so that's on the Intel side. And then on the AMD side, Zen 6, new Ryzen CPUs, lots of 3D V-Cache. So they're going to stack multiple layers of 3D V-cache, 240 megabytes of L3 cache in certain configurations. That's up from 64. So they're really going to be pumping. I saw something too that like every chip is going to be a 3D part.
Oh.
I don't know if that's true. I saw that somewhere, maybe on Twitter or X, or I saw that and I was like, I mean, that would make sense.
Yeah, like it's a little aggressive though, I think, because
not everybody needs that. You still need those other parts.
Exactly. But at the same time, and we talk about this a lot, like pre-built and all these other like ways of getting a computer, which obviously has a CPU in it, like AMD's market share in that segment is still so small compared to Intel just on pre-built. So most of their chips that they sell are to people building them. And a lot of times people that are building them are building them to game. So maybe it does make sense. Like maybe that ratio of where those CPUs end up makes sense to just make everything an X3D.
Yeah. 6 gigahertz, 7 gigahertz. So you ready to rock a 7 gigahertz?
If it can stay cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing we'll see. Hopefully, I would assume these are still going to stay AM5, which will be good. But yeah, I'm excited. I think AMD has done a lot of really, really good stuff lately in when it comes to CPUs and even GPUs. And again, they seem more in touch with their customer compared to Intel.
Yeah, yeah. Now, if we could just go back to like the square heat spreader, because ever since I've moved over to that new test system, I hate cleaning it after every cooler.
Yeah, it does. It's not great. It's not as bad as I thought. I thought it'd be really, really bad. Maybe you're applying too much thermal paste.
No, I'm not.
Okay. Because like I said, I mean, I'm pretty good. Like it's not as easy as the square, but it's still pretty easy to clean it. Like it's not hard.
It's not terrible. It's just
more work. Do you use Q-tips?
Yeah. Okay. I have them in the drawer right here.
Okay. Just making sure. Microsoft Edge, like what browser do you use? Chrome?
Chrome.
Yeah, I still use Chrome. I still think like my computer's so messed up right now. There's so many things. And I think Chrome's one of them. Like I think Chrome just like eats my memory. And I have and all of that. And I know a lot of people, like you see it on Reddit a lot. A lot of people are using Microsoft Edge. Like they just like it. They think it's really, really fast.
I use it a bit at work.
And I've heard good things. Like surprise, and again, this is like people have Reddit, so it's not like it's like some, you know, normie. It's tech people who are like, yeah, like I use Edge. Like I left Chrome a long time ago. Microsoft Edge UI is now 40% faster. Key elements load 4 times quicker. So they're still like working on that. That's the biggest thing too, is like, I know you don't see it, like, it's like microseconds, but like you can tell the difference if something's taking a while to load.
Oh yeah.
You know,
especially when like the page loads a section and you go to click something and then it just like drops down and you end up clicking a different, like you're like, what the hell?
So.
I'm always up for, you know, I used to be like the biggest Firefox guy.
Yeah, I use Firefox sometimes. You know? Like if I watched YouTube, I loaded in Firefox because for some reason YouTube and Chrome for me just like it's just not a good thing. That's like I said, it's pretty cool that they're still working on it and you're making it faster. Because we've seen it over the years where like things just like don't get updated and then it's just like it gets bloated and that things need fixed and you know, so it's still good that Microsoft is working on it. Now this is like this very much reminds me of Apple. We're talking about the Switch 2 again. I feel like every week we have a Switch 2 story and they're not good.
It's not been good.
Yeah. So Nintendo locked down the USB ports. So for certain docks, like they don't work correctly. Not a fan.
Yeah, I mean, I get it to some point. It's almost like an Apple type of thing, you know.
Yeah, like I said, it very much reminds me of Apple.
Like, they want to protect their gear. Like, they don't want you just connecting your brand new console to some shoddily made dock that doesn't have like proper circuitry or whatever, right? So I don't know.
Yeah, so it's because it has proprietary encrypted USB-C connection. Yeah, I'm not a fan of this. Like, if I'm going to break it, let me break it, I feel.
I guess.
You know, it's my fault if I buy a non-Nintendo dock or whatever. Let me break it. Let me do what I want with it. And I always felt like that with Apple too. Same thing. So yeah, I'm not a fan of it. And I feel like with all the bad press that Nintendo is getting with the Switch, even though they're selling like hotcakes. Or
treat it like certification, like G-Sync, you know, certified monitor or something, right? Like, this is
that's what Apple
Switch 2 certified dock, right? If you want all the features of a dock, you got to get a certified one. It'll still work on a non-certified, but you're not going to get as good of.
Well, that's what Apple did with their MiFi certified cables, and you had to do all that, and you're paying a licensing fee to Apple. You would be doing the same thing to Nintendo. I think Nintendo should do that. That's a smart thing to do.
Right.
But yeah, not a fan of just like locking down ports on a device that I own. Definitely not a fan. But that is our news for the week. I feel we went through everything quite quickly. Next week, I'm taking a look at a monitor light bar from Asus. This is their ROG Aura monitor light bar, and it's an ROG themed light bar for your monitor, and I'll see how it does on this big 49-inch monitor that I have, and see if it's worth.
You've used those in the past, haven't you?
Yeah, and this one's interesting because it has lights on the back as well.
To light you up, give you back glow.
Yeah, so we'll see how all that goes. But yeah, I will be taking a look at that next week. We might have some other stuff, so definitely stay tuned for all of that. Anything else tech related that you wanted to talk about?
No, I did just find out about a game that just came out because I saw it in one of the stories. There's a new Delta Force game. I don't know. Did you ever play Delta Force?
I don't believe so.
I think I played Delta Force 2 maybe back in the day. And like, it was because my father-in-law played it. And then I had a copy of it. And it's a first person kind of a tactical game, but I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. There was like no bullet drop, and so like you could snipe guys.
This came out at the end of
beginning of this year. But like Delta Force 2, there's like no bullet drop, so you could take like your M16 or whatever and just like snipe guys way across the map.
That's how like a lot of games were. That's how a lot of games were back in the day.
Oh yeah,
there was no bullet physics.
Right.
So
which was fun. It was you could have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I may have to check this out. It reminds me of a Battlefield style game.
It looks very much like vehicles.
Looks like a big, large. Yeah, it even says it's a large scale PvP type of setup. So we may have to check this out. It's free to play.
Yeah, I have to check it out. That'd be cool. Nothing tech on my end. I think I might finally get a couch in here, like right there. Okay. That little chair.
Did you get rid of your couch when you moved?
Yeah, so I had a really big couch. It would have taken up everything over there. But I think I might get a small couch just to make this place a little bit more homey. But I have to like do a lot of. It's always like so much research, and you gotta like measure and like. Then you're like, okay, if I don't like it, then it's just here. Yeah.
Right. What are your options for?
Yeah, you know what I'm gonna do. There's a really good subreddit called Male Living Space.
Oh yeah, Male Living Space is great.
Yeah. Let's see. That's
cool. It really is. And like, you're like, some of them are great. Some people are really good at it. And then other people are like, oh my gosh.
What I was going to do is I was going to take a picture, and then I was going to put the dimensions. Like, it can't be this because it has to be small because like you need room to walk by to go to my back of my place. And I don't want to take up too much space because then it feels cramped in here, right? That's why I never got a couch in the first. I don't really sit in front of the TV, but it'd just be nice to have a couch.
IKEA had in their app at one point, like augmented reality. So
there's a lot of them do. Yeah. But in any case, I was going to post all that on Male Living Space and see what people say, like give me some suggestions. Or like, there's a couple other subreddits, like apartment something, whatever. Or like, I think this one's like, I'm like some of these, I'm like Cozy Spaces is one of them. Ooh, man. Like there's a bunch.
That's a good one.
But yeah, I think I might do that. And I might get a couch. And it would be cool to have a couch for like different sets for maybe like some mobile gaming consoles I'm taking a look at and things like that. So, we'll see how all that goes, but I may get a couch. But beyond that, our question of the week is what old game that hasn't had a new version or hasn't had a remake, would you like a real AAA remake of? Not some like free to play, like a real remake of a old game that you'd be like, oh wow, like this is, you know, they're really doing this.
I would say there's two. Gonna pull this up. The first one that came to mind, I'll talk about second. The one that came to mind while I was thinking as you're asking is like Warcraft. Like Warcraft 3 was like the last real Warcraft, and they kind of tried to remake it, but it was just horrible. Like, give me a Warcraft 4 that's a current AAA version. Like, I would love to play that. And, you know, all those modded maps and custom maps that you can do, like, I would be down for that big time. The other one, though, is like a first person shooter that I played a ton back in the day, Soldier Fortune 2. And they come out with a follow up to it, because I played, Soldier Fortune 2 Double Helix. I played just a ton of, and they came out with Payback in 2007, which just wasn't as good or anything, but man, I loved playing the hell out of that game. Like,
I could like a new Warcraft game that was actually like very well done would be awesome. I mean, now that you said it, a new StarCraft game.
We played StarCraft a couple months ago on stream. It was fun, but like, yeah, give us a modern version,
and like, yeah, that would be great. I was also thinking, like, I know there's like City Skylines, but like a new Sim City that's like kind of like retro but new.
Yeah, I tried playing City Skylines, and it was like, I started and was like, I could go super deep into this, but none of the time.
I remember back when I lived in Pittsburgh, that's when I played the first one, and I built a city so big, it would like freeze my computer sounded like it was about to take off because I had so much going on. It. Like I filled the whole map.
That's wild.
But yeah, those are the ones that I would really like to see have a remake. It's like, it's nice when you get that AAA, like they put a lot of money behind it remake. You know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, those are the ones that I can think of. Maybe we get some new games. You know, we're going to be playing some games here after the stream. So maybe we get some new games, which would definitely be nice. Talking about that, we will be on Twitch, and Ryan runs that stream. It's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Of course, we thank everybody who watches live and everybody who listens later. And we will see. Oh, next week we have a special guest. So definitely stay tuned for that. So we have a guest on the stream next week. Maybe we'll tease it as we get closer to next week, but we will see everybody next week.